Hare Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay. So, bottom of 24. Vijaya, what are the principal attributes of Srimati Radhika? Goswami, the queen of Vrindavan, Radharani, is, like Krishna, the treasure trove of endless excellences. The most predominant 25 qualities are, right, because like in Krishna, 64 qualities, that's what's predominant. He has unlimited qualities, but those are what's predominant. That you can, and especially here, is that you can bring in different evidences from the scriptures and everything like that. So they're, you know, they're prominent enough that they've been mentioned in this way. One, Madhurya, she is sweetness personified and extremely lovely to behold. Two, Navavayaha, she blossoms with the fresh youthfulness of adolescence. So adolescence means that time from 13 to 15, that basic, you know. So that's the main age, because in Vrindavan, she's just below 16, right?
Okay.
Three, Chala Apanga, she has bright, restless eyes. Because restless means there's some energy always moving, what's happening, what's going on like this. Because one is that you're seeing what are the opportunities for serving Krishna, and also two is seeing how Krishna's responding. Four, Ujvala Smita, constantly a tender, soft smile plays upon her lips. So that means plays, it means it's moving between the various flavors and moves, so all the sancharis and everything like that. Five, Charo Saubhagya Rekha Adhya, beautiful auspicious signs and lines mark her body. Like Krishna has all the 32, so she'll also have the same. Six, Ganda Un Madita Madhava, her bodily fragrance enchants Krishna, right? Because that's her natural fragrance. And they also put on things, but her natural fragrance, because when she takes her bath, then, you know, so many anjans are there, the smell of her body and everything like that. All that goes into the gumsha, right? Naturally, when you take a bath, so whatever you take a bath with goes into the gumsha that you're wearing. So when she takes the gumsha off and drops it onto the ground, the earth takes all the fragrance from that gumsha, and that's the fragrance you get in all the different flowers and everything that is there in the earth. Like that. Seven, Sangita Prasara Abhigya. She is an expert musician and singer. It means because she's the one who teaches music and singing to everyone else. Ramyavak, she is practiced in the art of pleasing conversation. See, because it mentions that Shyayana mentions that music goes to the core of the woman's soul, right? So it very much has an effect on women. That music is very prominent for them. So because of her nature, the depth and everything of that, so naturally that means she'll be the best at music. Right? Ramyavak, she has practiced in the art of pleasing conversation. Right? Because that you have to plan every word, the mood, everything like that, how to deal. So that takes very good qualities to do. Right? One may say that, just for an example, within the material sphere, you have your more aristocratic personalities. They can sit there, means you can have two two persons, and they can be having a very serious argument, you know, like that. You know, you leave us alone like this, and says, you know, says otherwise there'll be trouble. And then the other one says, I'm looking forward to it, you know, and stuff like that. And you think, oh, this is so artificial. Why don't they just yell and scream? No, it's because they have character. That's why they can do it. And the one who says that's artificial means they don't have the character. Otherwise, why do you need to yell and scream? Like someone was telling me they found an interesting thing between, they saw, there was this documentary in that, and it was showing the difference between the British and the American, you know, portrayal of something, right? And then they had two scenarios of a spy thing, right? So, you know, the American thing is now they found out that one of the spies has been, you know, a double agent. Or, you know, for some reason like that. And so they're sitting there, like, you Democrat, you this, that, traitor, yelling and screaming, you know, throwing him around the room, the whole thing like this, you know, very, you know, that kind of mood. Then it switches over to the British. And so it says, you know, instead it's like, we have found that you've been doing like this, and says, you know, like this, this is not very proper. No, it's not, you know, like that. So this is going to have its consequences, I understand, you know. And then it's the others that, you know, so anything else to say? So you'll take care of the family? Yes. And that's it. You know, and it's all done with that real sober, it's the same intensity, but it's very sober and controlled. Well, the American is completely uncontrolled, you know. you never have, James Bond Unchained. You know, you just don't get stuff like that, you know. James Bond gone wild, you know. You know, you just don't have that. It's everything's always so controlled. So that's the thing is that it takes character to be able to talk nicely and deal under any situation. So here is the most qualified person in the cosmic creation, therefore the most pleasing conversation. Does that make sense? 9. Narma Pandita. She possesses sparkling feminine wit and humor. Right? Because the wit, it means the humor, is that's very important, but it's feminine, so that means it'll be contrary. It'll be elusive, and then they'll have that element of the shyness, right? So all those different things will be there. So nothing will be direct, right? It's always going to be indirect. Like that. 10, Vinita. She is modest and gentle by nature. Right? So that's just the nature. It's not something that's put on. That's just the natural feminine nature. Because here, sparkling feminine wit means you see everything here is perfectly matching the feminine nature, right? And it's very broad, very wide. Okay. Vigadha, she is extremely intelligent and transcendentally cunning, right? So, means because intelligence is a feminine quality. In Gita, it's mentioned like that. And then cunningness, then women are four times more cunning than men are. Right, so if they want to get something accomplished, there's no question that it doesn't get accomplished. Right, you know. 13, Patava Anvita. She is expert in performing her duties. Like that. So she knows what they are, she does them very well, so therefore she becomes very dependable. So it makes everybody very comfortable. 14, right, so this idea is, no, I do whatever I want, why I have to be restricted. Radharani, that's one of her qualities, she's expert at her duties. This idea is, no, I'm free, I do it. Who does that? Krishna doesn't do it, Radharani doesn't do it, none of their associates do it, Brahma doesn't do it, Indra doesn't do it, so who does it? Right?
Travelers.
Yeah, that's it, basically. And probably Nishadas also.
Yeah, okay.
Like that. Fourteen, Laja Shila, she is shy, right? Because that's one of the main qualities, right? So the wit, the humor, the cunning, all these things, these are inherent feminine nature. 13, Patava Anvita, oh no, we just did that, 15, Su Maryada, she is always respectful. She always deals properly with everybody. You know, even with Krishna, there's that element that is there, but for the nature of the relationship, then that's dropped. But that respect means that appreciation, because that's where it starts, right? She appreciates. So there's nothing about Krishna she doesn't appreciate. So she always deals very well. But it doesn't mean that she's not dealing in seeming, because the feminine nature is contrary. It's not necessarily that it has that direct element, right? But it's still, done very nice. So she'll be very respectful, Mother Yashoda, to others, to the service rendered by her devotees, right? They've done something, so she very much appreciates that. 16, Darya. She is patient and calm and able to tolerate pain and suffering. Right? Otherwise, how do you tolerate separation from Krishna? Because she's going to have that more than anybody. So, 17, Gambhirya Shalini. She is grave and sober. Right? So she can be very thoughtful and everything like that. 18, Suvilasa Priya. She relishes pastimes and is expert in enjoying life. Right? So all these things you go through is that you can say in the modern person would like to be expert in the material. That means this is the qualities required. You want to be successful, these are the qualities. This whole thing, you can get out there and yell and scream and do all kinds of weirdo stuff, but that has nothing to do with actually getting anything done. Right? You might get something accomplished, but can you enjoy it once you accomplish it? You know what I'm saying? Does that make sense? What's the life of the professional woman? Does she enjoy anything?
No.
7 days a week, 12, 14, 16 hours a day. Where's the enjoyment time? Right? So it's 19. Mahabhava Parama Yutkarsha Tarshini Yukta. She is situated at the topmost level of Mahabhava, ecstatic love, and always desirous to experience the same. Right? Because why will she experience Mahabhava? Simple question. It's not a trick question.
She likes Krishna.
She likes Krishna, okay.
She goes from Krishna all emotions?
Yes, no, all emotions are there, so the variety, but why would she be happy?
Because Krishna's happy.
Because Krishna's happy. So that means she knows how to deal in such a way that makes Krishna the most maximum happy. Therefore, her natural feeling is then as Mahabhava. Yes. It's not that it's a separate thing. So why would she then be desirous to experience Mahabhava?
To please more Krishna.
Because that means Krishna is being pleased, right? And when she experiences it, then like what you're saying, then Krishna's more pleased, right? Means, in other words, she's experiencing in the first place because Krishna's pleased. Because she's experiencing it, Krishna seeing that, he gets more pleasure. And that, you understand, it just keeps building. That's the difference between the spiritual relations and the material. Material, it's all about what I'm going to get out of it. And the spiritual is what Krishna's going to get out of it. So your happiness means Krishna's happy. If you're happy, means Krishna's happy. So that's why you're happy about being happy, because that's a symptom that Krishna's happy. It's not about that, it's about, that's the symptom. You know what I'm saying? Let's say, like, there's a thing in the Japanese bow, that when somebody it does it perfectly, when they release the arrow, there's a particular sound it makes. Right? So it's not about making the sound, it's about hitting the mark. But then by that sound, then then it's done properly. So in the same way, you're trying to please Krishna, and so your symptoms of happiness means Krishna's been pleased. Yeah. You understand?
Yeah.
Yes.
So as a sadhaka, this is like a turning point?
He's where he's more interested in pleasing Krishna than himself. Yeah, naturally. Naturally. But the point is anything connected to Krishna is of value. What we're talking about is within value, there's more value. Just like the rupee coin has a value. And then there's a chunk of gold. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so it's just that there's more. So it's not that, then we'll say, oh no, but that's not a value. No, it's still a value. But it's just a matter of that there's more. Right? So the sadhaka, that's a value. More than that is bhava. More than that is prema. More than that is mahabhava. It just keeps getting. So the point is Krishna's happy with the whole thing, but it's just that it gets. So, but you're performing all your activities in support of that mahabhava. Right? So then it's mahabhava plus whatever you're offering.
So Krishna is the origin of all happiness, and
yes.
the jivas and his energies, they reflect his own happiness.
Yes, or that it's a reflection, but it's even. Yeah, you could use it that way, reflection. That's used in Sri Rupa Manjari Pada. There's that kind of, all those good qualities, those are reflected back. But it's also directly the element, Krishna being everything, you being part and parcel of him. If he's happy and you're tuned into him as a person, you'll experience that happiness. It means Krishna's happy, but we're not tuned into him, so why should we notice it? You know, it's not that when I become happy, then only Krishna becomes happy. You know, it's not this Buddhist kind of thing.
Well, Krishna's always happy.
Krishna's always happy, but we're not paying attention. You know? You know, it's just like you're maybe with a good friend, but you're thinking about your own thing, and he's really happy, but you don't notice it. You know? Well, if you're tuned in, then you go, hey, what are you so happy about? You know, and then they'll say, oh, this happened, or that happened. You know, so it's just a matter of Krishna's always happy, because he is Satchit Ananda. He is the form of Ananda. He's the ocean of rasa, or the reservoir. You know, so whatever rasa is there, we're tasting one particular aspect. He's tasting them all. Like, because for us to taste, it means we're the ashray, he's the vishay. That means he's the vishay for all ashrays. So he's tasting it in everything. You know, you know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. We're tasting the prashad, but we're thinking, I'm the vishay, but we're the ashray. Prashad is the vishay, is the enjoyer. And so that of taking prashad with that attitude, then we taste it and go, this is very nice. That's because Krishna's happy with your honoring of prashad. But we think it's no, because I have the tongue, I'm the control of the tongue, so therefore I'm the enjoyer. No, we're the ashray. That's the fun part. There's everything else. We're always an ashray. We're never the vishay. You know, we can claim to be, but you know, just like little kids in the backyard, you know, they get out their sticks and one's the king and one's the, you know, general and one's, you know, like that. You know, so it's all going on. But, you know, it's like, I don't think a lot of, you know, countries are taking this seriously. You know, it's like they have this, you know, the superpower there, and then they, you know, then there's a, you know, a call, you know, general, look at this. You know, they come over and then they pull up on the screen from their satellite. You know, this group of kids playing in the backyard says, I don't know, I think we have some, you know, this is something serious going on here, you know. Are they favorable? Are they not? You know, like that. He's just proclaimed himself the king. You know, the whole backyard, you know, it's like that, you know. So what are we going to do about it, sir? You know, like that. So it's not exactly like that.
Is it wrong to think that Radharani is enjoying more than Krishna? Because it's always increasing.
But what's your point in doing it? See, at this point in the discussion, we're always going to come back to that. See, if we're just discussing the earlier aspects of the tattva, then it's just a matter of, you know, just the position of it. But why would you want to focus on she's enjoying more? You know what I'm saying? What's the reason? You know, just like it's very popular, whatever's been said, this is the way it is. If there's anything that's an exception, we love to pull it out and brandish it that the other thing actually isn't there. That's not the main thing, because then what's the advantage of that? So then we're that gives us a sense of control, or that sense of independence, that here's the rule, Krishna always does this, but then there's an exception, so we'll always take the exception out and then try to make it into the rule. Right? Because I don't know if you noticed over the last few days, that was the problem in these conversations, many of the questions. They're exceptions, which is true, but the point is we're trying to establish them as the primary instead of the secondary. So the point is she enjoys more because Krishna is so happy. So she's happy. The point is Krishna's happy. She's seeing Krishna happy. That's why she enjoys more. It's not that the feeling is more, just something happens and Krishna has his feeling, she has her feeling. The point is that Krishna has his feeling, seeing that she enjoys more than that. Does that make sense? It is just like the child is doing something. The child's enjoying, but the parent watching that is enjoying more than the child. Right? Does that make sense? And then Krishna seeing that, then his enjoyment increases. And then Radharani seeing Krishna's increase, and it keeps going like that. And then you have the devotees watching them. So then their happiness increases more than them. And the ones watching them, it's more than them. So the farther back you are, the better it is. Right? You know, our idea is that we have to be right in the front. No, Does that make sense? Is that okay? Yes.
Can we say that to study these topics can help us to make us more happy?
Means anything about Krishna, if Krishna is the center, we'll be more happy. But it's not that it's a technique for becoming more happy. Because the only technique is pleasing Krishna. So name, form, qualities, pastimes, you know, associates, paraphernalia, dham, any of these as subject matter, then that's pleasing. Because it pleases Krishna. Like that. Because we're doing it, that pleases Krishna. That's why we're happy.
That was Chaturvidha, Sri Bhagavad Prasad. That's the principle, right? The Guru is happy because we are doing something which pleases Krishna.
Yes. That's the whole. Does that make sense? So in other words, studying this, then we know more about, because the whole idea is if we're becoming devotees of Radha and Krishna, we should actually know who they are.
Yes.
You know, but at the same time, we have to be able to accommodate that they're persons who have qualities like this. Like that. You know what I'm saying? So we're not trying to take advantage of the situation. Is that right? Okay. 20. Gokula Prema Vasati. She is the embodiment and abode of Vraja Prema. Yeah, because the point is the Prema that's tasted in Vraja is because she is the ashray of that. Right? Means Vraja Krishna, you can only see Vraja Krishna because there's Radharani's in that mood. Because Krishna being unlimited, depending upon the ashray, that's how he manifests. Right? Does that make sense? Because the residents of Dwarka, then they see Krishna, they have affection for Krishna, their love for Krishna is through the form of rules and regulations, but they acknowledge all the five rasas. Right? So therefore Krishna manifests as Dwarka Krishna. Right? Vrindavan, then it's not a matter of showing one's love through rules. Therefore, that's Vraja. Does that make sense? So that's the generic. But then this element of Krishna means the Lord of the Gopis. That is because Radharani is in that mood of serving Krishna in that way. Therefore, you see that form of Krishna. Otherwise, you wouldn't see that form. So she is the personification here. She is the embodiment and abode of that because of her. That's why we're Gaudiyas. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So we're servants of Radharani. And that way, then we see that form of Krishna. Otherwise, you can't see. You know, he's not going to manifest that because we want it. You know, because he's Swayam, so that means he's the complete whole. So all qualities are there. So that particular balance of all those qualities that comes out with that sweetness in that. Well, we're very small, and there's certain aspects of the qualities that were there. So the manifestation of those, that will be nice, of course, but it won't be Vraja Krishna. Does that make sense? That's why you have to be very careful how you position yourself. That's why we're so careful about the parampara and your own, the acharya, like that. That's why the prominence of Prabhupada is the founder of Acharya, because it means you can say, oh, no, but there's so many advanced devotees. Yeah, Chandravali is also advanced. She's number two in the cosmic creation. That means she's advanced. She's not a schmo here. Right? Does that make sense? But the point is that, but if that's where you want to be, that's another thing. But if you want to be Radharani, see what's there, then you have to be exact. It's not that, you know, a little of Prabhupada, a little of this one, a little of that one. It's that then, you know, where you're going to be, because no one's going to accept you in their group very seriously. You know, they may not mind you hanging around if things aren't too intense, but once it gets intense, you're not qualified, because you're not fixed in anywhere. You know, does that make sense? So you're here with this one, and then when they go, then you move to that one, then when they die, you move to this one, and then who's going to take you seriously in the spiritual world? Right? Relationships are eternal, so if you keep popping around like this, then hey, you know, it's like, you know, they're not going to take you seriously. You know what I'm saying? Yes.
Does this relate to doing our duty, like you were saying before? Radharani's expert at doing her duty. So
yes, we do our duty. It means we have our things, what is expected. Lord Chaitanya had a desire to save everyone. Rupa Goswami understood that. He created a movement to do that. The Acharyas are therefore following Rupa to try to see that that gets done. So this idea, no, we're all in the same party. Yes, in general. But in specific, no. In specific, no. Because as we saw, Maharas, everyone comes together. But when it's not Maharas, it's not everyone together. So it's not that, well, I've left, you know, Prabhupada, and I'm following this one, but we'll all be there together. No, you won't. On certain occasions, definitely we will. But on your general daily day, you're not going to be together. You're going to be with your own person. So that's why he said before, is we respect Chandravali, but they can do what they like, because we don't have anything to do with them. You know, this, the material kind of thing is, well, if I'm not involved, I don't respect. You know, or if I respect, then I'm involved. But the spiritual thing is, I respect, I'm not involved. Right? All Vaishnavas are respected, but we have who we're exactly following. That's caught, it works nicely. You don't follow that, you're not going to get much. It's just the way it is, because no one will trust you. Yes.
Sometimes in Vrindavan, when you go for parikram, other devotees may visit many different temples. So does it mean that with this understanding we should not go to a temple from the Sri Sampradaya or like Bhakti Sampradaya?
It's a matter of if you're going to take darshan and all that. It's a matter of you're not associating, you're not taking their association as that's what's important. We're respectful. Make sense? Yeah.
Do we consciously choose which line we are? How does it happen? Like, you know,
you consciously choose means you haven't consciously chose.
I'm not really. I found myself joining the movement. Not really.
Yeah, but right now, so means the child is born into a family. But at one point, do they commit themselves to that family? Yes. So then that's.
And how do we know what's the best? Which one's the best?
If you don't know, I can't help you. Yeah, what's your favorite fruit?
Mango.
Okay, so how do you know? Yeah, okay, so then this line tastes good. Point is commitment is important.
And according to who we follow, because we're not, many of us are not direct disciples of Prabhupada.
What do you mean direct disciple? Well, how define direct disciple?
Disciples means we didn't take Krishna from him.
So that's the significance of the founder of Acharya, is he's just another Diksha Guru in the line?
No.
Then?
To be connected to the parampara.
Yeah, but what is the parampara? Narottam Das Thakur and Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Is Narottam Das Thakur the Diksha Guru of Vishwanath? Or is Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami the Diksha Guru of Narottam? Or as Jiva Goswami, the Diksha Guru of Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami? You know? And Vishwanath and Jagannath? Jagannath and Bhakti Vinod? Bhakti Vinod and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur? Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur and Prabhupada? There, that's a Diksha connection. None of the others are Diksha connections. So why would you emphasize Diksha connections unless you're contaminated by either one, the neophyte concept that something to do with the body is more important than the instructions, or two, you're connected with the you know, all these caste Goswamis and bogus lines, that it's the Diksha Pranali, like all the Radhakund Babaji's and all these kind of wallahs. You know what I'm saying? In other cases, it's not coming. It's not going to look good. It will not look good on your resume.
You're saying we can take a shiksha from Srila Prabhupada directly?
Right now we're taking shiksha directly from Bhakti Vinod Thakur. What is the meaning of transparent via media? Like if you look out the window and see the tree, do you feel I'm directly seeing the tree? Or are you thinking, well, actually I'm not seeing the tree, I'm only seeing the window, and it's somehow another then. Right? Or you're looking now and seeing the tree without looking through the window, but you're still looking through the eyes, and that's going through the brain, and that has nothing to do with you as the soul. So looking through something, that's the only thing that a jiva can do. You don't have another alternative. There's no such thing as direct. It just doesn't exist. Direct is Radharani and Krishna. That's direct. Everything else is indirect. I mean everything. Does that make sense? So, therefore, going through, that's not the problem. The point is it should be the proper medium that it allows that full content to be experienced. So the point is Prabhupada is the founder Acharya. Why give the name founder Acharya? You know, he's just the biggest, baddest Diksha Guru around, and so, you know, that's why, you know, he's the man. You know, what's the thing? Siksha Guru means he is establishing the siksha that will be followed for the next 10,000 years. That's a founder Acharya. Right? Means if you go, let's say you go to Sri Rangam. Right? You know Sri Rangam? Okay. What do you call the devotees there? Okay. And that means who? Ramanujacharya. Okay. You catch the point? You're not catching the point. How long? Ramanujacharya was like, you know, almost 1,000 years ago. More than 1,000, almost 1,200 years ago. Right? But what are they following? Ramanujacharya's instructions. Who did they hear the instructions from? What's the connection to that? Their spiritual master. But what's he teaching? Simply the teachings of the founder, not something else. You don't come up with something new. Right? That's called vast, right? Means you want to stick to the parampara. That is, you know, you follow the books. Does that make sense? So everybody in ISKCON has a direct siksha link with Prabhupada. Right? But diksha-wise, then you're however many generations is you are from when Prabhupada was present. Right? In other words, someone who's 100 generations down the line, diksha-wise, he has just as direct siksha relationship with Prabhupada as someone who's Prabhupada's disciple. You understand? That this is called spiritual. It doesn't make any sense materially, because material means time and space. So if I'm not by physical proximity sitting right there, then I'm not close.
You have to understand, Maharaj, that if someone now present is taking shiksha from Srila Prabhupada, but has no diksha or shiksha guru physically alive here, he's still connected to...
He's connected, but it's somewhat serious. But the point is why are they not Why don't they have a Diksha or Shiksha Gurus? You know what I'm saying? Especially, why not Siksha Gurus? That's obvious. It means you have devotees that you respect, you know, their discussion of Krishna consciousness. So you have Siksha Gurus. So it might take some time for a Diksha Guru to manifest. But to say there's no Diksha or Siksha, something's wrong with that person. That means they have serious authority issues. They have independence issues. They have all kinds of issues. That's the real point. Does that make sense? You know, because we already went through that before. It's that such person means, what was it? Because when you add the impersonal element into the religious aspect, you don't trust anybody. So therefore, because you might get cheated by a guru, therefore you won't even look for one. That's also directly Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So therefore you have all kinds of persons who, you know, they don't see the need to take shelter of devotees. But that's impersonalism. It's not because, but they'll always consider themselves intelligent because they're coming from the side of mental speculation. Right? So impersonalism means jnana. So they'll think they're very smart. That's why they're not surrendering. Right? No one's impressed them. But they're, you know, but they can't be impressed. You know what I'm saying? That makes sense. Like a bull can't tell the difference between the tastes of things. So they just eat. So whether you give them fancy stuff or just ordinary stuff, to them it all tastes the same. So the problem's not what they're eating, the problem is them. So if they're unimpressed by all the Vaishnavas, the problem is them, not the Vaishnavas. But they're so proud and they think they're so intelligent that it's because of them. But that's the contamination of impersonalism. Does that make sense? Yeah. Like that. So that's why I said they would at least have Siksha Gurus. It'll take time to have a Diksha Guru, but Siksha Gurus they should have. Right? But because we don't take Siksha as important as Diksha, therefore when we say they don't have Diksha Guru, we'll throw into the mix the Siksha. But it's actually the other way around. Diksha is only to confirm Siksha. That's all.
So, yes. Why Prabhupada did not establish Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati as the founder acharya?
Why does he need to? Why him? Why not Jagannath? Or why not Bhaktivinoda? Why not Rupa Goswami? You know what I'm saying? Why Ramanuja, not, you know, Yamunacharya? He's one of the 12 Alwars. You know? What's the point? Are we following the Gaudiya Math schedule? Or are we following Prabhupada's schedule?
Prabhupada is from Gaudiya Math also, right?
Yeah, and then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati is from Gaurakishore Das Babaji, who sits under a boat. Or chants in a toilet. You want to do that? I got a lot of toilets here. I got 16 toilets, right? You know, so that means 16 very serious devotees could take advantage. Yeah. You understand? The point is, the founder Acharya has been sent to establish what is the process that will be followed for the length of that mission. Does that make sense? Yeah. If you really want to get technical, we're actually the only Gaudiya Math. The others aren't technically Gaudiya Maths. They're associates of Gaudiya Math, but they're not actually Gaudiya Math. They don't have a GBC. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, run the society by a GBC. We're the only ones doing that. None of the others are doing that. Some have a GBC, but it's under the Acharya, so it's not what Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wanted. So we're actually the real branch of the Gaudiya Math. The others aren't.
a revolt. Extremely lucky, once.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? So it's just, you know, I mean, the other Gaudiyas aren't going to appreciate that, but it's kind of like, you know, it's just the fact. You know, we're not saying that they can't go back to Godhead or that they don't have the right foot. They have everything. And then we have Prabhupada. Yes?
I wondered about this question for a long time. So for the next 10,000 years in ISKCON temples around the world and to come, there won't be any other pictures on the altar.
No, you have the the point is you have the acharya and four before them. That's the pancharatic system. So you always have Prabhupada and the four before. And then you're going to have the picture of your own spiritual master. Because that's your connection. Because the point is it's the siksha connection that's important. You know what I'm saying? It's like neophytes have all kinds of fun coming with all kinds of speculation. What's happening, but they have to, they don't know what's the system they're dealing with. That's all. That's just the tradition.
So, if we want to be in Srila Prabhupada's language to make sure that our Shiksha Guru is also exactly in his line, otherwise, if he's.
Yeah, but generally, Shiksha Gurus are in the line. Like that. Because the point is if they're not discussing Prabhupada's how you say it? His teachings and approaching the acharyas, previous acharyas through Prabhupada, then, you know. So as long as that's there, then that works. That's why you have the founder acharya, so that anybody who does that is able to carry the potency. Because they don't have to create the program, they don't have to create the direction, they don't have to document the philosophy. They only have to give you what Prabhupada uses the term relevant instruction. Right? So then it works. So this whole thing, well, if you don't find the Uttamadhikari, Putravoti, dropped out of the spiritual world, you know, person, then you can't go back to Godhead. That's totally bogus. Because you do have that person. Because what are you going to get from them? You know? It's something to do with their body. It's to do with the instructions. So Prabhupada's there. The instructions are always alive. Some may try to say they're dead, but, you know, we don't care for them. Does that make sense? And you have to be able to distinguish when an advanced devotee is dealing with a specific situation where somebody says, well, I'll just listen to the tapes of Prabhupada and I don't need anybody else. And then it's told, no, but you have to have the association of devotees. You have to have someone to guide you because that's Krishna's system. That doesn't mean that that advanced devotee is saying that the tapes don't have any meaning. That's the way the neophytes, you know, problem always comes up from neophytes. Yeah, a misinterpretation. Just like with Madhva, he's saying one thing, then his disciples get a whole different idea and create this whole distraction. So the point is that's why the books are what's important. The books are the basis. That's why we use that phrase.
Yes. Yesterday discussion we had how we follow the Jesus also did similar.
Yes, like Paul. Same. With Paul, he completely made a whole different change in it. You know, is it about Prabhupada's instructions or it's about Prabhupada? Right? Does that make sense? If you take the Ritviks, what is it about? Prabhupada's instructions or about Prabhupada? It's all about where Prabhupada sits, who sits lower, who sits higher, this and that. There's a rule that the person giving Bhagavatam class can't sit on a seat where his head is any higher than Prabhupada's heart. It's kind of like, okay, but what about Prabhupada's instruction? They'll say, no, but that's putting Prabhupada in the center. Yeah, it's putting Prabhupada in the center, but what about Prabhupada's instructions in the center of that? That doesn't matter. So that's about Prabhupada. So that's what Paul did to Jesus. That's not actual follower Prabhupada. Follower Prabhupada means his instructions are what's important. And so therefore he's the preeminent Siksha Guru. That's what makes Prabhupada outstanding. Not that his murti is bigger or, you know, sits higher or he has, you know, is better painted or something, you know. These are all externals. Right? Now, for those who are direct personal associates of Prabhupada that they might think like that, you have to, you know, give them that space because they had that personal association. But for everybody else, especially ones that never met Prabhupada, that they're jumping up and down, it's like, you know, what's their trip? Paul never met Jesus either. Does that make sense? I mean, the line is very exact. It's a science. So it's not a matter of sentiment. Right? It's all about sentiment, but that sentiment has to flow according to the science. If it's not, you know what I'm saying? It means the acharyas, it's spontaneously happening, but they can explain the exact science of what's going on. Like that. Otherwise, it's not our line. Okay. She is, so Goloka Prema Vasati. She is the embodiment and abode of Raja Prem. Her very sight evokes spontaneous love in the residents of Gokula. Because that was the idea, is the Uttamadikari, by seeing them, you want chance. Right? So she is the embodiment of all the Prema. So just by seeing her, then spontaneous love for Krishna is evoked. 21. Jagat Shreni. Lasad Vasa. She is the most famous devotee throughout creation. Right? Everybody knows Radharani. So even in the other lines, you know, these Vaikuntha lines, they still know about Radharani and the gopis. Okay. Gurvarpita Snehas Pada. Snehas Pada. Okay. She is very affectionate to her elders and always receives their affection. Right. So she's always very respectful and deals very nicely with all of her elders. Right. So then they naturally reciprocate. 23. Shaki Pranayita Vasa. She is controlled by the love and affection of her girlfriends. Right. So all her associates, that she's controlled by her love. Right. She controls Krishna, but they control her. Right. Just like Krishna controls the creation, but he's controlled by the love of the devotees. So that's natural. Out of affection, one is controlled. So that's the point, is that, yeah, you see in relationships that one is maybe in control of things, but if one is controlled by affection, that doesn't take away from your position of actually being managerial in control. Right? But people, due to lack of confidence, then they don't allow that control. So therefore, they don't taste affection. Today's not too blunt, is it?
Today's good.
Today's good.
Explain a lot more.
Explain which?
About the affection and the control.
It's a new concept. means just like Prabhupada gives the example that there was, I forget who it was, he was the Prime Minister in England. I think it was the Prime Minister. He was either Prime Minister in England or the Prime Minister in India, I don't remember which. But whatever it was, here's the Prime Minister. I think it was England. And this big guy was waiting to see him. He came for his appointment. But then the secretary said he'll have to wait. He's busy now, right? He's in a very, you know, important, you know, meeting like that. And so then, you know, he sits for some time, but because he's a big guy and thinks he's a big guy, so he becomes impatient. So, you know, after being told so many times, then at one point he just barges into the office. And there he sees this prime minister down on his hands and knees, and his grandchild is sitting on his back telling him, go here, go there, and everything like that. That's controlled by affection. Right? You understand? So he doesn't feel that, well, because my grandchild's telling me where to go and I have to walk around my hands and knees, my position as prime minister is compromised. Right? But in the modern society, you know, if the woman tries to control the man through affection, he thinks his position as a man is compromised. And then he talks with his friends about it, and then they tell him, yeah, you got to show her who's boss, right? Yeah, and then the next thing is then he gets these funny little papers that he has to sign at the bottom. Right? You understand? Like that. People are, and they don't, they feel that that's a weakness. But actually, that's a greatness.
You know? That's confidence.
Yeah, because the point is you can see the two as separate things. One's a social position or occupational position, and the other is actual relationship. So then it works. So that's why it's a new concept, because in the material world it's not really practiced. The ladies know about it, but it seems to be somehow that the men have been left out of the loop here. Right. 24. Krishna Priya Avali Mukhya. She is the chief gopi and the most beloved of Krishna. Because she has all the qualities. It means Krishna has the unlimited quality. She has the counterpart of all those. In other words, she is that potency of those qualities. Right? Krishna is strength. She is all the forms and activities that make for strength. So whatever quality Krishna has, she is the form and the activity. 25. Santata Ashrava Keshava. She always keeps Krishna under her control. Because that's the whole idea, is that Atmarama, he's in control of everything, but he expands to be under the control of his devotees. Vijaya. I wish to learn in detail the beautiful and auspicious signs and lines that mark the transcendental body of Srimati Radhika. Right? Is that early? So that's Charo Subhagya Rekha Adya, number 5. Beautiful auspicious signs and lines in her body. Goswami, the Varaha Samhita, Jyotish Shastra, Kashi Kanda of the Skanda Purana, Matsya Purana, and Garuda Purana have presented the following descriptions of her auspicious signs and lines. So taking that all from there. So whether one is from one place or it's putting them all together, doesn't matter. That's the references. Upon the sole of Radhika's left foot, there are, one, at the base of the big toe of the left foot, the auspicious mark of a yava, barley corn. That means it's shaped like that. You know, some people have it like here. So she has there on the foot. 2, a discus below that. 3, a lotus flower at the base of the middle toe. 4, a flag and a banner below that. 6, the Urdhva Rekha line beginning right of the middle toe and extending up to the middle of the sole. And 7, an Ankusha elephant gold at the base of the little toe. And so these are all auspicious markings. Right, and these markings are clear enough, or you know, predominant enough that when you step in the dust, you can actually see them. Right, like on Krishna's foot, you can see them. Right.
What's an elephant
code? It's that little thing. It's straight, pointed, and it's got that kind of curve on it.
Yeah, I know what it looks like, but what is it? What's it for?
Controlling the elephant. How? The hook you use for grabbing the ear, grabbing the trunk, things like that. The pokey part, then you poke them. That makes sense?
Yeah.
Yes.
I suppose these signs have some meanings, like for example, when talking about this, is it because she's controlling Krishna?
May, but these are auspicious. I'm sure there are. But, you know, as it is, this is already getting into enough. This is already, you know, that's, she has all these qualities, devotee, then specific qualities, then these are just the auspicious physical qualities, signs, you know. So each one, you know, of course, has an actual definition of everything. But those would be generic. upon the sole of her right foot means for her is specific, but the Shastra will define it that if someone has this, this means this. If they have that, it means that. Upon the sole of her right foot are 1, a conch shell at the base of the big toe. 2, a fish upon the heel. 3, a chariot above the fish. 4, an altar thrown at the base of the little toe. And above the fish is 5, a mountain. 6, a coil like an earring. 7, a mace. And 8, a Shakti symbol like a spear.
I noticed that when there's an Abhishek, Krishna gets offered a fish. Is that the same fish?
Means that they take it off a run or run.
No, it's that symbol of the fish, the same fish as fish that gets off the fish.
No, that's called matsya mochana. Means releasing the fish. It's considered auspicious. So when they have it an outside, like much of the time they have these kind of programs outside in the temple pond. And in the middle of the pond there is a an island. So the deity goes out and sits on the island, and then they do all the puja and everything there. So at that time, then one of the things is to release a fish. So they have a fish in a bucket. They take it out of the bucket and throw it into the pond.
Oh, okay.
Like that. So, so that's, yeah, because it's what are you going to do with the big old carp inside the temple room? Got it? Yeah, so therefore you make a nice little silver fish and you throw that into the water.
Okay.
Okay? Does that work? Upon the palm of her left hand, the predominant lines are 1, the lifeline which begins from between the index finger and the middle finger and runs all the way below the little finger. Because it's coming from there, means that curve means then it's very good connection into Guru, you know, into the authorities and things like that. Because otherwise, it may go there, it may not, but hers goes in that way. 2, another line starting below the lifeline extends from the middle of the outer side of the palm below the middle finger and travels up between the index finger and the thumb. Okay. Second line. Okay. 3, at the base of the thumb, starting from the wrist, a line curves up to meet the middle line, thus reaching the midsection between the thumb and the index finger. So that means also then very long, you know, it's auspicious. That's the life of the thumb. The following marks are also found upon the palm of the left hand, a disc upon each fingertip, with which the 3 lines add up to 8 signs. Right, so you can get different things on the fingertips, so there you can get chakras. Right, there's different kinds of fingerprints, so the chakra is considered the most auspicious. Furthermore, there are 9, an elephant below the ring finger, 10, a horse below the lifeline, 10, a bull below the middle line, and 12, below the little finger, an elephant goad plus a fan. A Bilva Sri Lakshmi bale fruit tree. Not exactly sure how that works out, but it means bale fruit is the, you know, general term used for a bilva tree. So what is that? What is that? A bale fruit Sri Lakshmi bale fruit tree. That means it's like that. Oh, okay. But in any case, some variety of bale tree there. 15, a post. 16, an arrow. 17, a lance. And 18, a string of beads. Thus making 18 signs and lines. Okay, that's upon the left hand. Upon the palm of her right hand, there are 1 to 3, the same 3 prominent lines as on the left palm, plus 4 to 8, a conch shell on each fingertip. 9, a yak-tail chamara below the index finger, and a goad, a palace, a dundabi kettle drum. Oh, I see. Oh, okay, I get it. So he's doing the Sanskrit, and he just left out the karma. So the bilva is the tree. So that's a Sri Lakshmi bale fruit tree. So I guess there's different kinds of bale fruit trees. 13, a lightning bolt. 14, a pair of carts. 15, a bow. 16, a sword. And finally, 17, a water pot with a spout below the little finger. Thus, on the sole of the left foot, there are 7 signs. On the sole of the right foot, 8 signs. On the palm of the left hand, 18 signs. On the right hand, 17 signs. Therefore, altogether, there are 50 auspicious marks and lines. Vijaya. Are any of these attributes possible in another person? Goswami. These attributes are present in minute degrees in the jiva, manifest to a higher degree in the devas and devis, but they are in absolute fullness only in Srimati Radhika. Sri Radhika's every attribute is supramundane, and such attributes can never exist purely or completely in those souls conditioned by material nature. What to speak of those in the mundane creation? Not even Parvati, the consort of Shiva, and Gauri, the consort of Narayana, possess any of these attributes, either to perfection or to an absolute degree. Vijaya. Yes, truly Srimati Radhika's unsurpassable beauty and super excellent attributes are inconceivable. Her mercy alone can endow one with the ability to perceive them. So just as Narayana is only manifesting a portion of his, Krishna's Narayana is only manifesting a portion of his qualities, right? Even though it's still unlimited. But so in the same way as Lakshmi, the natural consort, is only manifesting to that degree the same proportion. Right, so only in Radharani is it fully complete. That means only in Krishna is it complete. Her mercy alone can endow one with the ability to perceive them. Goswami. How can words describe her beauty and excellences? Even Krishna is enchanted by them. How can they be compared to anything else? Vijaya. Gurudev, kindly tell me about Srimati's Shakis. Goswami. Srimati Radhika's Yuta are the finest.
Really?
Even more than New York's? Okay. The gopis in her Yuta are embellished with all perfections, which help them to create an amorous and romantic ambience to attract Sri Madhava Krishna. Like, his whole idea is you have to attract him because he's Atmarama.
It's not easy. It's not easy.
Same time as that, if there's that affection, then it works like that. Vijaya, how many types of shakis has Srimati Radhika? Goswami, all in all there are 5 kinds. Shaki, friends. Nitya Shaki, eternal friends. Prana Shaki, friends as dear as life. Priya Shaki, dearmost friends. And Parama Preshta Shaki, supremely dear friends. Because remember before I made a distinction of the Prana Shaki? And we were looking for this to figure out where they fit. Do you remember what was the connection there? Because they were making a distinction between the two. There was something in a mood, and because of that mood, they would only get up to a certain level. Oh well. Vijaya, who are Shakis? Kushumika, Vrinda, Danishta are prominent Shakis. Right, so that means they're friends. Okay, so Vrinda means Vrinda Devi. Danishta, she's the head maid in Jashoda Mai's house. Vijaya, who are Nitya Shakis? Goswami, Kasturi, Mani Manjari, and others are Nitya Shakis. Right, so the maidservants, they're in that category. Vijaya, who are the Prana Shakis? Goswami, some of the famous Prana Shakis who identify closely with Srimati Radhika and often acquire a portion of her sarupata, beauty and features, are Shashimukhi, Vasanti, and Lashika. Who are the Priya Shakis? Goswami. Some of the famous Priya Shakis are Kurangakshi, Sumadhya, Madhya Lasa, Kamala, Madhuri, Munja Keshi, Kandarpa Sundari, Madhavi, Malati, Kamalata, and Shashi Kala. Okay, that was the Priya Shakis. Okay, and then Parma Prashta. Who are the Parma Prashta Shakis? Goswami, the Parma Prashta Shakis, often assisting in the most confidential pastimes of Srimati Radha and Sri Krishna, are the Astasakis, eight principal Sakis. Lalita, Vishaka, Chitra, Champakalata, Tungavidya, Induleka, Rangadevi, and Sudevi. According to the situation in the divine couple's amorous pastimes, they sometimes exhibit partiality towards Krishna, sometimes towards Sri Radha. Right? In other words, if Radha's angry, then means if everything's going smoothly, then generally it's always with Radharani. But sometimes, let's say, there's a difficult situation, Radharani's playing with Krishna, so then they think Krishna should be able somehow or another, they feel that compassion towards Krishna, so then they'll side with him. Right? Or if Radharani gets angry at Krishna, he's done something stupid, they'll side with Radharani. But if it's a matter of trying to break that anger, then they'll side with Krishna. So depending on what's the situation, but the general situation, they side with Radharani. Vijaya, now I have a better concept of Yuta, but what is the position of the Gana? Vijaya. Oh, what is it? Goswami. Within every yuta are subcategories that are known as gana. Right? So the yuta means this whole thing. Everybody who's following Srimati Radharani. Within that, then there are gunas. Because the different leaders of all these groups, they have their followers. Right? Does that make sense? So then they have, like Vrinda, she has her gana. Right, all her associates, the Vana Devis, are all in her gana. Right? She goes to get things done. She has godowns full of paraphernalia for Radha and Krishna's pastimes. So the Vana Devis, they retrieve that or take it back or they get everything done. Does that make sense? So, in other words, they're the prominent person, the friend, but then they have their associates. So that's the gana.
It's only Radharani has a yuta?
No. It means every main gopi has a yuta. But the Astasaki, like Lalita, Vishaka, they are yutashwars, but they don't play that position. They take the position of simply gana leaders under Radharani. Like that. Goswami, within every yuta are subgroups that are known as gana. Within Srimati Radhika's yuta, for instance, is Lalita Devi. And those who owe allegiance to Lalita Devi are referred to as Lalita's gana. Vijaya. The Parodha Bhava is certainly an extremely exalted attribute of Vrajagopis. But is there a situation where Parodha Bhava is not worshipable? Right, Parodha is the parakia. Goswami, the distinction between male and female in the material world is illusory. These designations are the results of fruitive actions in material nature. Right? It means deporting your fruitive action, then you end up either as masculine or feminine in the particular birth. The Maya Shakti of the material nature is a breeding ground for irreligious and low desires. Therefore, rishis, munis, and gurus have forbidden man-woman relationships outside the institution of marriage. Because right, it's a breeding ground for irreligious and low desires. In order to uphold the pristine position of rasa and protect it under the shield of religious marriage vows, the great rishis and munis have also gone a step further by denouncing the parodha bhava as depicted in the mundane literature of the material world. Right? So in other words, the parakia within the material world, the rishis and munis have gone as far as to say this is not important. Right? That this is not good. Right? Because then it just distracts. Because actually you don't have male-female. Right? Because male-female is only the form of the bodies. And you get those according to your karma. So this life one's in one body, next life one's in the other body. Does that make sense? However, rasa springing from transcendental paramour dalliance is pure and eternal, whereas illicit relationship in the material world between the illusory males and females is its perverted reflection. Right? So there it has, it's glorious, here it's a perverted reflection. Right? Because there it's pure because it's all about Krishna. But here it's perverted because it's all about oneself. Mundane rasa is extremely limited and bound by both the cultural rules of society and the regulations of scripture that rightly exclude the conditioned jivas of this material world from paramour relationships. Right? So it's limited by the cultural rules and regulations, and at the same time the regulations and that exclude the paramour relationship. Is it, in the material world, it's just not, you know, the go. Yeah, it's not pretty. Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha and is the sole Purusha and Nayaka. His Purodha Bhava that churns up the unlimited rasa of the spiritual platform is not in the least impure or condemnable. Thus, within this highest spiritual concept of transcendental paramourship, there is no room for the enactment of the prosaic laws of the illusory material world that govern the institution of mundane marriage. When the hero of Goloka, Sri Krishna, manifests his Gokula Dhamma and the supreme Parakya Rasa upon earth, then the gopis of Gokula are above reproach for exhibiting their transcendental Parodha Bhava, even though illicit relationship in ordinary mundane literature has been rightly censured. Right? So it means it's correct that it's censored on the material platform. On the spiritual platform, it's not. So in the spiritual world, it's not a problem. Vijaya. Gurudev, I feel so fortunate and ever grateful to you for these explanations. Kindly explain the different nayikas, right? Because now we describe the different kinds of nayakas, right? Krishna, those four different aspects of Dhirodatta, Dhiralalita, like this. Then you have the aspect of whether he was, you know, favorable, whether he is, you know, the how you say, guileless, whether then he's, what was it? Audacious and duplicious. Right, so then the combination of those then made so many different forms. Right? Okay. Goswami, there are three types of nayikas. Swakya, married, parakya, paramours, and samanya, general. Right, so this will be the general categories. Then we'll get with detail within these. I have already spoken about the Swakya and Parakya Nayakas in spiritual rasa. So now I will delve into the Samanya Nayakas. Right? Because Swakya means that they're married to Krishna and they have that mood. Parakya means they're married to someone else and have the mood that Krishna is the lover. Right? So now the Samanya means general. The pandits of rhetoric, mundane literature, and arts have ascertained that the Samanya Nayakas are prostitutes, only greedy for money. Accordingly, the Samanya Nayakas neither despise the characterless, unqualified Nayakas, nor love and respect those Nayakas who are endowed with good qualities. Right? Does that make sense? The guy has no character, it doesn't matter. He has money, it works. And even though he has great character, but as long as he has money, it works. So it doesn't matter. Right? Their feigned love is not true, but described as Sringarabhasa, a semblance of love. However, Kubja of Mathura, generally considered to possess Sringarabhasa, should, according to our spiritual authorities, be placed on the level of Parakya because of the particular temperaments for Krishna that she developed. Vijaya, Gurudev, what is this particular temperament of Kubja? Goswami, when Kubja was still ugly, disfigured, and unattractive, she was never in love or infatuated with anybody. Yet upon beholding Krishna's beautiful features, she immediately felt a spontaneous urge to apply sandalwood paste to his body and tugged at Krishna's garment, begging for his embrace. Right? Yeah. This was an exhibition of Rati analyzed as being in the Parakya mood. In contrast, the love of the queens of Dwarka is superior because they always unselfishly desire to give pleasure to Krishna. Since Kubja's love is mixed with selfish motives, it is categorized as sadharana, ordinary, in general. Right? So you have the sadharana, which is ordinary. Right? So then here, that's she is basically the only one categorized there. Then you have the queens of Dwarka, which now it's more. It's not about... See, in other words, she wanted the benefit for herself, her own enjoyment of being with Krishna. Right? But naturally, act in a way Krishna's happy, but it's about herself. Right? The queens, then it's about this unselfish as a wife. So, but that's 50-50. Yes. Right? But then, and so that's the next step up. Right? Then more than that's the gopis and vraja, because that's 100%. Just for Krishna's pleasure, not for their own. Right? So this is why this is sadharana. So when you take it here, then parakiya means Vrindavan, Swakya means Dwarka, and Samanya means in Mathura. Vijay, as Kubja's attraction to Krishna can be considered to be parakiya, I now understand that the purely spiritual rasa of the Nayikas is divided only into Swakya and parakiya. Within the sphere of these two, what other specific differences and moods are there? In other words, because it was there before she became a prostitute, so it's there, but she wasn't married, so it's parakia, but it's ordinary parakia. Right? There's other terms that show that sadharana is there, then it's the next higher than the highest. Like that. But he hasn't mentioned those names yet. Both swakia and parakia nayikas are of three types. Mugda, captivated. Madhya, intermediate, and pragalbha, imperious. Vijaya. Gurudev, because of your unlimited grace, each time I meditate upon transcendental rasa, I see you as one of the Rajagopis. At that moment, all material designations of male and female disappear. Though I feel that Ramani Bhava of the Rajagopis, I am incapable of serving in an appropriate manner. Thus I am extremely keen to learn the different sentiments of the various Nayikas. In other words, there's the feeling is there, but the point is there's no position. Does that make sense? So that's the difference. Because only in bhava sadhana, then the position is actually there. You actually have the form through which we can... Before that, there can simply be that feeling that's interesting. I would like to be able to serve like that. But there's no detail of your own service. You're only meditating on the detail of the service of those who are in that rasa. Does that make sense? That's also a major difference. The sahajiyas, they imagine themselves doing the service. But that's not the point. Unless you're on bhava, then you simply... That's why it mentions Lord Brahma, he understood his position as maidservant of Krishna, but it says he didn't know the details. So that's what it's talking about. Okay. I wish to serve Krishna by garnishing my spiritual sentiments with their particular service attitude, right? Because it's the service attitude. It's not what's going on, right? The external approach to it is that they're doing that, I want to do that. You know, I want to fetch the water and I want to, you know, do this and I want to do that. But the point is so many people are doing that. So what makes what's the difference? The difference is the mood. So it's the sentiment that's important, not the activity. The activity is the medium through which that sentiment is expressed. So in that way it becomes important. Does that make sense? Yes? No? You know, because we always look at it, what they're doing. But it's not a matter of what they're doing, it's the mood in which they're doing it that's important.
So what they're doing is a result of the mood.
What they're doing is a result of the mood, and because the mood is perfect, therefore the quality of the paraphernalia is also perfect. Right? But in the material world, you don't have perfect paraphernalia. But you can have perfect mood. Right? In other words, we have the same attitude in engaging the things of this world, in Krishna's service. So that mood of full surrender, that can be had, though what you're working with is of inferior nature. The body's inferior nature, the facilities are inferior. Right? So the natural thing is this, to get the best you can. Yes.
I remember a story, Sri Tiketi.
A little loudly.
Sri Tiketi probably told one story about how he used to pack some prasadam for Prabhupada on the airline flights, and he packed some puffed rice.
Mm-hmm.
And so soon after the takeoff, then Prabhupada asked for the puffed rice, and then he took it out, and he was taking, and then he was sharing like this. And then the airline stewardess, she was walking past, and she looked down, and she saw this puffed rice, and she grabbed some of Prabhupada's puffed rice. Popped in her mouth. She was like, "I'm so sorry. I don't know why I did that to you." It's like, because I don't know, the soul must have known it was special. You know, it's like she took this puff rice. So it's like the mood of getting the mercy from the pure devotee was like probably the form was maybe not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Form wasn't ideal, but good chance she was a Bengali. But actually, everybody in India eats puffed rice. They all have it. Yes.
That steward is from South America.
From South America. Oh, really? Oh, so they were on an international flight. Yeah.
They found her years later. She had pictures of everything. She became a devotee.
Okay.
Her really her only connection. So
right.
I was a stewardess, and I reached my grandpa and see her, and she became a devotee.
Okay, cool. I thought it was on an internal flight. No, internet? That's far up. Yeah, so then really she wouldn't know why she did it.
Being honest.
Yeah. Yeah, that's far up. She's still a devotee now?
I don't know how old the story is, but it was a few years ago. So I think someone's doing door-to-door sanctuary and started up a conversation, and she had pictures and everything, and that was the stewardess.
Oh, okay. Because she was chanting and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, far up. Okay, cool.
So mood is the most important.
Yeah, mood. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. I wish to serve Krishna by garnishing my spiritual sentiments with a particular service attitude, and I pray at your feet. Kindly school me in this subject. Therefore, please illuminate the nature of the Mugdha Nayika. Right, so Mugdha was captivated. Goswami, here are the symptoms of the Mugdha Nayika. She is Nava Yovana, ever fresh and most youthful, amorous and extremely feminine. Her innocent newfound love enchants her. She learns very much. She leans very much towards the Vama Bhava, leftist mood, when she tends to act contrary to the desires of her beloved. Right, because that's the element of contrary. So even if it's like we were saying, even if it's right wing, there's still going to be some element of contrary. But it's just not as prompt. Right? Left wing, then it's very prompt. Like that. She is submissive to her fellow Shakis and very bashful in expressing her love. But in private, she is artfully meticulous in planning a meeting with her beloved. Right, so it means when it's not a big group and all that, then she can really plan exactly what to do. But if it's a big group, then she'll be more shy. If the Nayaka is offensive or neglectful, she simply observes him with tearful eyes, neither speaking harshly nor sweetly, nor flying into man, a withdrawn temper tantrum. Right, in other words, a temper tantrum, but it's internal. It's man. Okay, so that's the Mugdha. Vijaya, what is the nature? So you can see there's much more contradictory elements. In the masculine, there's some contradictory elements, but it's much more clear. But here you have this whole mix of all these things, where she's very bold in making plans, but very shy in discussing that in the bigger thing. You know what I'm saying? She's very captivated, but she doesn't react very strongly. Means in the way of if he doesn't behave properly, right? Does that make sense? Because you expect it's more extreme this way, so it'd be more extreme the other. So you have all these different kind of elements. Vijay, what is the nature of the Madhya Nayika? Okay. The Madhya Nayaka's great madana, amorous passion for union with Krishna, is balanced by his shyness upon meeting him. So there's great desire to meet, but as soon as meeting, then the shyness comes up. Navayovana, ever fresh and in the prime of her youth, her speech tends to being occasionally pragalba, intrepid and impertinent. Sometimes she is so passionate that her amorous play transports her up to the ecstatic symptom of murcha, loss of consciousness. Her temper is at times mild, at other times severe, and when angry, she is of three types: dira, passive and composed; adhira, intolerant and restless; and diradhira, a mix of both dira and adhira. When she is dira, the Madhya Nayaka coolly ridicules her errant beloved with sarcastic words. As ardhira, she hurls abusive words in a rage. And when she is diradhira, she is moved to tears while speaking cuttingly to her beloved. The Madhya Nayaka possesses a combination of the Mugdha mood and the Pragalba temperament. Hence, the pinnacle of all rasa is beautifully reposed in her. Right? So in other words, means you have these two different ones, and then you have one that's a mix. So Madhya is the mix. Right? Right, so captivated and imperious are the two. And then Madhyama is intermediate. So Radharani is always known as a Madhyama. Right? The other gopis will take more of these other aspects. What is the nature of Pragalba Nayaka? The Pragalba Nayaka's symptoms are as follows. She is Purna Yovana, ever fresh and in the full bloom of youth. Right? So she's a little bit more mature. She is proud, blinded by passion, and extremely enthusiastic about romance. She knows the art of weaving a net composed of a myriad of bhavas in which she entrances her lover. Right? So in other words, it's not just a direct element. There's so many elements that you put together to create that. She knows the art of weaving... Oh, okay. And upon meeting her lover, she may even intimidate him with the characteristic power of her prema rasa. Her speech and activities are serious and very mature. And when she is angry, she is harsh and imperious. In such man, the Pragalba Nayaka is also of three kinds: dira, adhira, and diradhira. The dira Pragalba pretends to be indifferent to samboga, amorous pleasure, keeping her emotions and feelings secret, and is externally polite, respectful, and affectionate. Whereas the adhira Pragalba piteously rails at her lover, caustically railing him down. Finally, the Diradhira Pragalba Nayaka possesses a very similar personality to that of the Diradhira Madhya Nayaka. Means in other words, she's the element of the tears but cutting at the same time. That makes sense? So in other words, you have left in here, you have the middle, and then you have right of left. Does that make sense? But you can also take that and put it within right. So it'd be left of right, the middle of right, and the right of right. Does that make sense? So that way you'll get the... Both the Madhyama and the Pragalba Nayaka are further subdivided into Jeshta, senior, and Kanishta, junior. Thus there are Jeshta Madhya and Kanishta Madhya, Jeshta Pragalba and Kanishta Pragalba. These distinctions of Jeshta and Kanishta mirror the inflections and intensities of the pranaya, love, of the individual Nayakas. Okay. All in all, how many Nayakas are there? Goswami, there are 15 different Nayakas. First, there is a further Nayaka that we have not yet mentioned, the Kanya Nayaka, unmarried heroine, who is very young, is exclusively a Mugdha, and therefore of one kind. Right? It means they're always infatuated. Right? Then, as just described, there are three kinds of Nayikas, Mugdha, Madhya, and Pragalba. However, out of these three, the Madhya and Pragalba Nayikas are further subdivided thrice into Dhira, Adhira, and Dhiradhira, thus making one Mugdha plus three Madhyas plus three Pragalbas, equaling seven. When, then we should consider that this is that this resultant seven may be either Swakiya or Parakiya. Consequently, seven Swakiya Nayikas plus seven Parakiya Nayikas plus one Kanya Mugdha Nayiki make a total of 15 Nayikas. Okay. So I think we'll stop there. And we'll continue this after some time. Right? So this will be the last class for today, and then we'll start again on Monday, but at 6 o'clock, 6 to 7. Right? And then we'll do the Upasampradayas. Right? We'll do that through Gaur Purnima, and then after Gaur Purnima, then we'll go back to the Jagadarna.
So, are we going to finish the book about the Sat Darshana before
the Sat Darshana?
Yes, I think it's not finished.
No, it means all of that will happen after Gaur Purnima.
There is only a few pages of the study guide of the Sat Darshanam.
The Sat Darshana? I thought we already finished that.
It's not in the note that you have here. It's not in the note.
Means this one?
Yes.
Means this is Tattva Vivek?
No, the other one.
Six system.
But we finished that note. Didn't we? Oh, no, because we went down to two classes.
Yes, we almost finished it.
Okay, no, we'll finish it then. We'll finish it then. I didn't realize that it's that, otherwise then we would have done that.
Yes, there's three, 4 pages.
Yeah, a few pages.
Oh, efficient material cause. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, no, we'll do that. Yeah. I didn't realize that was left. I thought we had done it.
Om Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Jaya Srila Prabhupada ki Jaya Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki Jaya Jainataya Gaurav ki